Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. I want to read one verse, and we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll go into our teaching this morning on children. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. This is verse 19, I'm sorry. Genesis 18, 19. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to give us freedom and ease to speak your word this day. May the Holy Spirit of God fill us with wisdom and with love. We pray that the power of God might be upon this message, that you would bless the fathers and the mothers and the children and the families. Lord, that you would give us wisdom from your word that would bless our families. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we talk about you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is a father's responsibility what his household turns out to be, and he's going to meet it at the judgment seat of Christ. What's going to happen to him? Now, as I looked at it, I looked at the Bible, I could have picked a lot of different men to use as an example, but Abraham is an example of the faithful. And I think about David, I think about Samuel, I think about Eli, I think about a whole lot of other fathers that are mentioned in the Bible. We're going to think about some of these men. But I found this verse about Abraham, and it was just a tremendous verse in the statement that was made there. He said, "For I know him, and he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." Now, how far does the father's responsibility go? Well, I want you to think just a minute about salvation. We are one generation away from atheism at every generation of the church. We can go back and look at England. It was a great missionary church. Tremendous evangelism. You think of Wesley and Whitfield, the Wesley brothers and Whitfield, and the tremendous number of people that were saved. Tremendous evangelism. You think of great missionaries that went out of England. The great missionary movement began in England and went around the world. You think of great preachers such as Spurgeon and others that came out of there. England's a mission field right now.
Yes.
Why? Somebody didn't win their children. Somebody didn't command their children.
That's right.
Somebody didn't raise their children. If they had, the gospel would still be going out like it was. Amen. You don't have to get down, and you don't have to lose your family. You don't have to lose your children. You don't have to lose your grandchildren. If you get on your knees and pray to God Almighty for some strength and some help, get some of His principles and put them into your family, then maybe you can save your children and your grandchildren.
Yeah.
I think about people that are satisfied in a poor church, one that doesn't preach the word, that one doesn't stand for truth, that one doesn't stand for righteousness, one that doesn't stand for any morals code. And I think about them, they're saved, but what's going to happen to their children? What's going to happen to their grandchildren? Where are they going to be? How about your great-grandchildren? How would you like for your family just to die out with you as far as Christianity is concerned? How would you like it if you came right down to here and you're the last of your family that ever gets saved? I'd consider that a tremendous tragedy.
Yeah, amen.
What do you have to do to have that happen? Nothing. That's all you got to do. Take the easy way out. Don't be faithful in church. Don't read your Bible. Don't live any kind of example. Don't pray for your kids. Don't raise them upright. I guarantee you where they'll go. You think they're just going to naturally seek the Lord? They're going to naturally run after the world. They're going to naturally run after sex. They're going to naturally run after pleasure. They're going to naturally run after money. They're going to naturally go the way of the world. If they're going to be taught to do right, somebody's got to spend the time to teach them, and that's hard work. What's that about Abraham? I know him. God is no respecter of persons. God is a respecter of character.
Amen.
I know him. What kind of man is he? What kind of man will he be? I know him. He will command his children and his household after him. There's some households that are a real shame to their father and their mother. I want you to know that. They really are. And there's some of them that are a great honor and praise to the father and the mother. That's the truth. It's Mother's Day, and I'm not preaching on mothers, but let me just say, all the men said, you sure are picking on the men. I want you to give us a break and get on somebody else. Well, let me tell you, Mother's Day, I think Mother's Day is a wonderful day. But just because your mother doesn't make you great. There's some sorry mothers out there. Sorry mothers. Mothers with a sorry example. Mothers with sorry kind of love. Mothers with sorry kind of life, and they end up raising a lot of sorry children. You don't know the reason why there's a lot of sorry children in this world today and all the problems we've got in a lot of ways with juvenile delinquency and drugs and garbage? It's because of sorry daddies and sorry mothers. That was free. Now, I know him. He's going to command his children after him. Well, what kind of commanding is he going to do for those children? Turn over to Exodus with me. I want to show you some verses in the law as to what you ought to be doing. In God's law, the first five books of this Bible are God's law, not just the Ten Commandments. Although, basically, if you want a simple definition of sin, break one of the Ten Commandments, any one of them, you've committed sin. It basically covers almost every sin that you could be delineated any other way. But at any rate, turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 26. I want to show you a little phrase. He's been talking about the Passover. They've been delivered out of Egypt, and God has told them to take a lamb for a household, slay that lamb, take the blood, put it on the doorpost of the house, and when the death angel rides through Egypt and slays the firstborn son of every Egyptian, he'll pass over and not let anyone die in any house where the blood is. Praise God for the blood.
Amen.
You know what? That's called the Passover. Now, he said something here. It shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? What mean ye by this service? Let me say something to you, fathers and mothers, and anyone has any opportunity to give any influence to anybody. Somebody's going to come up and your kids are going to ask, why do you do what you do? Why do you go to church all the time, Daddy? Why is it you give your money down there? Why don't you spend your money on a new boat? Why don't you spend your money on a new car? How come you supporting missionaries till all of us don't have what we need? How come you always down there working here and working there? What are you doing these things for? Then you need to sit down and say, the Lord God did this. They were supposed to say, the Lord delivered us in Egypt. The death angel rode, and when that death angel rode, God said if we'd put the blood over our household, everybody in our household would be saved.
Yeah.
And our firstborn son would live. And let me tell you something. God brought a great deliverance that day. And I'm telling you the reason why I celebrate this every year. I'm looking back on the remembrance. I think about the Lord's table service.
That's right.
Why in the world you have the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Man, that ought to be boring. I mean, it's not boring to me. Maybe to you, it's not to me.
Amen.
It's a blessing to me.
Amen.
You know what it does to me? It reminds me every week somebody paid a price for me.
Amen.
I get so busy sometimes. My weeks, I stay busy. For about 30 years, I've gone about 6 days and about five nights a week. For a long, long time. There were some times I went seven nights a week. And I learned better and decided to spend some time with my family. A long time back, I made some decisions and changed some things. And I'm getting older and I'm probably going to slow down more as the time goes on. But I've been a very busy person in my life, and I can forget things. I apologize sometimes because I do forget things. I don't always write things down, and sometimes when I write them down, I don't consult my notes.
Yeah.
I know that never happens to you, but it does to me. And you know, I get very busy. I need a reminder when I come up with a death like we had this week, and a funeral like we had this week, and some other situations coming up. I forget some other things, and boy, it's good for me to sit down. What mean these sacrifices? What mean these services? What mean these stones? Why do you have this service? What are you doing this for? I want you to know I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your daddy got saved, and your mama got saved, and our lives got changed. And we're out here remembering the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're remembering God's Passover. We're remembering the blood of God that saved our soul and changed our life. We're looking back on a salvation given to us by the love of God. What mean these stones? Look over, you will, at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 21. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. I want you to think just a minute. He's telling them, you put my words in your heart, you bind my words on your hand, you put them in a frontlet between your eyes, you teach them to your children when you're in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you're rising up, when you're laying down, you write them on the porch of your house and your gates. You have a responsibility to make sure your children understand the Word of God.
Yes, amen.
Needs to be before your eyes. Needs to be with what you do. Needs to cover your house. My wife has a way of putting messages on the refrigerator with little magnets. She's always writing these messages. Most of them are the Word of God or some wise saying. Those are good. And after a number of years, she's got a stack of them. And boy, she just comes through and changes them just ever so often. Good messages. Write them. You ought to write them on your hand. You ought to write them before your eyes. Put them on the inside of your glasses. Do something with them. Your children ought to know what you believe and why you believe it. You need to spend some time with them. As a young preacher, I was so interested in building churches. I was so interested in winning other people to Christ. I was so interested in being busy and going that I know I neglected my family. And one time Eddie was a little boy, and I asked him to give thanks at the table. I think I was pastor at Southwest Baptist at the time, and I was going actually every night. I visited one deacon on Monday nights, another one on Tuesday nights, at Wednesday night prayer meeting, Thursday night. I visited with another deacon, Friday night another deacon, Saturday night I took the young people to Youth for Christ and had all day Sunday. I was a busy fellow. And back in the day, holding up to 12 revivals a year at the same time too. And Eddie prayed at the table, said, "Lord, help us not to forget we got a daddy." He couldn't have stabbed me anymore. It's an experience in my life that happened sitting at a breakfast table. I think I'd probably been gone in revival meetings or something. And he just, innocent little old heart, he wasn't complaining, he wasn't giving a hard time, he just was praying what was on his heart. "Help us not to forget we got a daddy." Good night. That broke my heart. It made me change some of the things I did. The wife and I began to talk about it. Well, we got to change up some things. And I began to date my family. You don't realize how busy sometimes we get. If I want to finish a meal with my family, I take the phone off the Hue dial and think, "Boy, somebody's talking on that phone." No, they're not. I'm just eating. Yeah. Listen to me. We have to try to put the phone right back on. We get a lot of calls, but we stay busy. And I used to date my family. So I spent some time with them. I got to thinking of all the great evangelists that I knew about. They went out and won 100,000 people to Christ and lost their own children. I thought about Eli, high priest of God, and lose his own children. I thought about David and the loss he suffered in his children. I thought about how the people of God turned down Samuel's sons. I thought about Billy Sunday, went against drink, fought these things as hard as he could, won 100,000 men to Jesus Christ and his own son, and have been a drunkard. I mean, we can't lay all that to their fault. God's going to have to decide just where the fault lays. But let me tell you something. I said, wait a minute. I got to make some changes. I began to date my family. In other words, I set aside a time. We're going to do this. We're going to go to the lake. We're going to take all the time. I'm not going to anybody thinks. Well, I don't think your preacher ought to be taking off and doing it. I don't give a flip what you think.
Amen.
I don't care if it hair lips the devil, man. God gave me a family, and if I lose my family, I'm a failure. Noah won his family as far as I'm concerned, he's a success. 120 years a preacher, only 8 people got in that ark, but the man was a success. And so we tried to find things. I gave up hunting and took up fishing where the whole family could do it with the same amount of money. I did some other. I didn't like to fish, but I learned to like it. And I learned to do things with my family. I put my family together. We prayed with their family, and we did our best to do some things. When I was a missionary, you just cannot imagine the press of people upon your time some of those missionaries have. And the only way I could be with my family without being interrupted by somebody else was to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, load that pickup, and leave. And one Saturday, I'd head for the coast. And the next Saturday, I'd head for a volcano. And the next Saturday, I'd head for some valley. Next Saturday, I'd head for some place like that. We spent time with our family. You're going to have to put the Word of God where they can get it. You're going to have to spend some time and give it to them. Teach them to quote those verses of Scripture. Put the Scripture before their eyes. Put the Scripture in their ears. Tell them what you mean by what you're doing. Why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
They'll read a hypocrite a mile away. You're not going to fool them. You may think you can put on a big smile and fool them, but you can't do it. You think you can put on a show. They'll read you like a book. Like somebody wrote it on a billboard. Well, look, if you will, at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7. What do you got to talk about that's so good? Well, I'll tell you what, if you get the right perspective, you got something to talk about. Look what it says here. Look at verse 7. Deuteronomy 4, 7. "For what nation is there so great? Who have God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God, as in all things that we call upon him for? What nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Amen. Teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. What are you going to teach them? How great is our God.
Amen. Amen.
How great our privilege to be so close to Him.
Amen.
How great is our God to give us a word such as this. A word that I read, a word that I study, a word I try to apply to my life. I was dealing with a woman one time about her family. She was in real bad trouble. And I told her, I said, "The Bible says obey your husband." She said, "I wouldn't obey him." I said, "Okay, disobey God. What you gonna do? You gonna obey it or disobey it? You smarter than this book? You smarter than God?" You've got the Word of God. You've got the Word of the Creator. You've got the message of the Lord for you, your family, your children. What are you going to do about it?
I know some of you men say, well, now, preacher, I want you to get my wife to obey me. And I'm telling you, I'm head of this house. I'm Mr. Macho. I'm King Hoss around here. She just doesn't give me the honor I deserve. You lazy bum, do you obey God? Amen. What kind of example are you? You live before her as you ought to live. What? Can she see you crush your grain because God's Word says something different? Does she see you give up anything in order to obey God? If you don't obey God, why should she obey you? You're not obeying God. Why should she obey God, huh? Now, the truth is, if either one of you do right, the other would be better off anyway.
Amen.
But you both ought to be right.
Amen.
Yes, the man's the head of the woman, but the man's got a head too. His name's Christ.
Amen.
Said right here, what nation is so great who hath God so nigh to them as the Lord our God is in all things? I want you to know, this sure isn't the biggest church in town, but I think it's the best.
Yeah, amen.
I love it.
Amen.
Some people want to badmouth us and call us all sorts of names and things like that. That's all right. Some people think we're a bunch of crazy cults and, you know, whatever. I, when Jim Jones affair was going, I was accused this was a Jim Jones thing. That's the honest truth. And when other things go, people call me all sorts of things. I have been called just about everything. I got a thick hide. It does. I laugh about half the time. I say, I don't believe it. I know. How did I get that one? You know? Did they spell my name right? That's all. Did they, when they printed it, did they spell my name right? Just spell my name right. Give my address so somebody can come out and look and see for themselves.
Yeah,
amen. But you know, I think about all the accusations and all the things. And you know, we don't try to force people to come here. My wife said if they knew how many you run off while you know, they'd think different, wouldn't they? We don't care.
Yeah, that's right, amen.
You got, if you don't want to be here, man, don't let your shirt tail hit your butt on the door out. Just get a moving. Ain't no sweat if you don't want to be here. Ain't no big deal. We love you. We'd love to have you, but we don't want you out here miserable.
Amen.
We're here with a bunch of volunteers.
Amen.
We think we got something good. We're like the Marines. We just want a few good men.
Amen.
We just are like the Marines. We just want to find a few good men that want to do God's will.
Amen.
And I'd rather worship God with 15 people who meant business than 1,500 of these lackadaisical, half in, half out, on the fence, off the fence Christians.
Amen.
Excuse me, but that's the way I feel about it.
Amen.
Now, what nation is so great? What people are so privileged? I think we are so blessed.
Amen.
I think we, to Amen. See the missionaries that have risen up here and going out, to see the preachers that come up here and go out, to see the witnessing that's going, to see the love that's going, to see the marriages that have been restored, to see the victory in some people's lives, to see the gospel printed in newspapers, to think, my life has been blessed. What God, what people have
Amen.
Come so close?
Amen.
Oh, saved by grace, eternally secure, got the eternal, everlasting, unchanging Word of God in my hands. And Jesus Christ is coming back for me soon.
Amen.
And you can walk up to a casket and tell the loved ones that have their heart eaten out of them, this isn't the end.
Yeah, that's right.
This isn't the end. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
What people, what nation so great. You don't think we should be a thankful people? You don't think we should tell our children? You don't think we should raise them up with some respect for that which we love and what we do? Oh, yes, you need to tell them. Turn, if you will, over to Joshua chapter 24, beginning verse 14. Joshua 24, 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
There are a lot of choices people make out there, and sometimes I don't approve of their choices, but that doesn't make much difference, see?
Amen.
All that makes a difference is what God approves of.
That's right.
And you're going to meet Him in judgment. You're going to answer for what you do. Who are you serving? Make your choice. What God you're going to serve, what church you're going to go to, what religion you're going to follow, what book you're going to follow, whose philosophy you're going to live by. Make your choice. Don't be some of these that's sitting in and out, half on, half off, half in, half out, lukewarm. Make up your mind. Get on which side you're on.
Amen.
Be He started like a boy, saying, well, I got three girls here. Boy, I like all of them so well. And boy, I like this one, but I like her, but I like her, and I like her. And he's telling all these three that way, you know. Well, I really like your eyes, but I tell you, her hair is so beautiful. And really, her hands are so graceful. And I'm really not sure which one of you I'm going to pick. All three will dump you, boy.
Yeah, right.
You don't get any one of them. You got to single one of them out and go after her. Got to make some choices. Well, I think I'd like to love the Lord, but I'd really like to go over here with the devil. And, you know, I'd really like to go out here and play with this bunch here. I'd like to go out here to the bars. I'd like, oh, get off my back. Why don't you make up your mind?
Amen.
You know why your kids don't know what they're doing? You don't know what you're doing.
Amen.
You make up your mind which direction to go, your kids at least got a chance whether to follow you or not.
Amen.
They don't have to sit back and say, I don't know which way my daddy goes.
Amen.
I wanted my kids to know which way I went. I'm sure a long ways from perfect. I failed in a whole lot of ways. But bless your heart, they knew which direction I was going. They need to know which direction you're going. Joshua said, I want mine to know. All of you, you make up your own mind. You make your choice. Who you're going to serve. Take your pick how you're going to lead your family. Make up your choice what you're going to do. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord.
Amen.
You know what I'll bet? I'll bet his house served the Lord.
Amen.
Turn, if you will, to 1 Chronicles 28, verse 19. I'm sorry, verse 9. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. David failed with some of his sons, but he didn't fail with all of them. And he had an awful lot. And he was a king of a land, and he had a lot of things that would take an awful lot of time from the first. Great warrior, gone from home a lot. But he comes down here and he says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the Lord, the God of thy father, serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understand all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch. And look at verse 20. David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee till thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. I'm telling you what you need to do. You need to pray for your children. You need to instruct your children. You need to give your children a pattern of life to build. You need to tell them how to build a home. You need to tell them how to build a life. You need to know how to build character. That doesn't mean they're always going to do it, but your responsibility is to put it before them.
Amen.
You just remember, it's an old saying, every tub sits on its own bottom. That's true. But my friend, my tub has the responsibility to make sure it guides the other ones. As a daddy and a mama, I need to make sure that my children have good instructions. I need to talk to them. I need to tell them, this is what God wants you to do. I need to preach to them and tell them, this is what God wants you to do. This is the word of God. This is the way of the Lord. Walk ye in it. That's what David did to Solomon. He took him aside and he said, Solomon, listen, if you're going to do this thing, here's the way you do it. Here's the way you do it. Here's what you do and here's the way you do it. They need to be given a Bible. They need to see you reading your Bible. They need to pray. They need to see you praying. They need to see God's direction in your life so they have a direction in theirs. And they need to be told, you make your direction go right. Somebody said, your life is such an example. And that's all you need. That's not true. Your life is an example, and you do need it.
Amen.
But you need your words, too.
Amen.
You need to open up your mouth and give your testimony. Solomon, my son, here's the pattern for the work of God. God's called you to do this work. Here's the pattern. Get out there and do it.
Amen.
Build that family. Build that life. Build that ministry.
Amen.
Boy, you need to pray for him. Then if you look at 1 Chronicles 29:19 or 18... O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart. Listen to him pray. Listen to him pray. How'd you pray for your kids this week? Did you lay down in your bed any time this week and say, O God, give my son a perfect heart. O God of Abraham, Isaac, of Israel, God of my fathers, oh, keep in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of my children. Prepare their way to seek ye. Prepare them a husband. Prepare them a wife. Prepare their children. Prepare their jobs. Prepare their purposes. Protect them from what's out there. Lord, raise up a Christian testimony in them. Use them for your honor and your glory somehow. Prepare their heart. Keep a perfect heart with you. You ought to pray for your children. You ought to get down on your face before God and pray for your children. Well, look, if you will, at Psalm 71:17. Here's David. Wonder why David was faithful to God. Wonder why David was such a man that God would choose him. Well, you know, David evidently had a pretty godly father. And evidently, he might have had some pretty good brothers.
Yeah.
But you know what it says? In verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not till I've showed thy strength of this generation, thy power to everyone that is to come. You know what he said? Thou hast taught me from my youth.
Amen.
I praise God for every old dope addict that gets saved at 40 years old. I praise God for every jailbird that gets saved after he's murdered 14 people and been in a cell for 10 years and gets out and gives his testimony all over the country. I praise God for every old prostitute that finally gets saved and gets right with God and tries to straighten their life. I praise God for everyone.
Amen.
But I praise God for every child taught from their youth that never gets themselves in the messes that they're in.
Amen.
I praise God for everyone who had a godly father and a godly mother that raised them in the Word of God, taught them the Word of God, built their family, built their life, built their home on the principles of God's Word, and that child grew up without having to go through the mess of salvation. That's a bunch of garbage.
Right. Amen.
They got a better one.
Amen.
They don't have to get messed up with all this garbage there is out here. Some things I did, I don't want my kids to do.
Amen.
Some places I've been, I don't want them ever to go. Amen. Some of the thoughts that are in my mind, I hope they never read or see.
Amen.
Thou hast taught me from my youth. Teach them from their youth. Amen. Don't leave them like weeds to grow up anywhere they want. Make them a garden.
Amen.
Do some weeding. Do some planting. Do some sowing. Do some watering. Make them a garden. Turn over, if you will, to Psalm 78, verse 4. We will not hide from them, from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful work that He hath done. We will not hide from our children. What are we going to do? We're going to show them. We're going to show our children the praises of God.
Amen.
We're going to show our children the wonderful works He hath done. And then it says, verse 6, that He established a testimony in Jacob, verse 5, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. God commanded, He's quoting that Deuteronomy back over there.
Yeah.
He's referring back to Deuteronomy, commanded you to teach your children. And then He says, verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God.
Amen.
Why in the world do you put those verses in those kids' minds? Why in the world do you talk to them? Why in the world do you plead with them? Why in the world do you pray with them? Why in the world do you put it before their minds? Why in the world do you take them to church? That they might set their hope in God.
Amen.
That the day might come, no matter if they backslide, no matter if they get in trouble, that they'd know they could come to God. I don't know. I don't know who is the strongest influence in my life. I don't know whether it's my daddy or my mother or some old uncle. I don't know whether it was my wife or some friend or somebody I worked with. I don't know, but I know there came a day when I knew I needed help. I was lost and on the road to hell. And I sat there in a trailer house and I said, you know God? I just talked to Him like that. You know God? I've heard you'd have mercy upon anyone that would call on you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm calling.
Amen.
I don't know. But there came a day I set my hope in God. You think I'm torturing myself preaching all the time?
No.
I'm having fun.
Yeah, that's right.
I have more fun here than most of you people have in a bar.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
I have more fun here than anybody I know having a dance.
Yeah.
This is better than a great
Amen.
Big meal. I'm having fun.
Amen.
I don't come to church Sunday by Sunday saying, oh, I got to get up and go today. Oh, I hate to go. Oh, poor me. Okay, kids, we're just forced to go today. Some of you lazy turkeys, no wonder your kids are the way they are. No wonder they don't want anything. And then, some of you, when you leave here, you got a roast preacher all the way home before you get your roast turkey.
Yeah.
You go home, I'll tell you, that Brother Lentil, he's too loud, he's too long, he's too ugly, he's too fat, he's too. All the way home, we can hear you. Well, he could have let us out at 12 o'clock. I mean, we could have been first in line down at Luby's, you know, if he'd let us out at 11:30. But he had to preach till 12:30 today. And then you wonder why your kids don't want to go to church with you. You don't respect anything. Why should they? Amen? Shoot. You must think I'm some dummy, huh? As old Brother Dave said, I didn't come in town on the last little pumpkins. I've been around a little while. You ain't getting some fella just beginning this thing. I've been doing this a long, long time. I got stories I can tell you, but I won't. That they might set their hope in God. Why am I teaching? Why am I living? Why am I praying for these kids that they might set their hope in God? Your hope's not good enough for them.
Amen.
They gotta put their own there. Amen. Your salvation's not good enough for them. They gotta get saved themselves.
Amen.
Well, let's hope they set their hope in God. Turn over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 19 and verse 18. I'm gonna take you to some verses on discipline. This doesn't exactly agree with Dr. Spock.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But then Dr. Spock in his later years didn't agree with Dr. Spock.
Yeah, amen.
He started to have a change of heart. But millions of people have already been raised with his poor advice.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me give you some better advice on raising children.
Amen.
Verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. When are you chastening your son? While there's still hope.
Amen.
Well, there comes a time, man. There's nothing you can do. Take the car keys away? No. I mean, you're going to take him out and spank him anymore? No, the guy's bigger than you. He's 6'3", but now. Weighs 210 pounds. You're going to say, all right, I'll go stand in the corner and put your nose over there. Oh. You're a little late. Reckon you ain't made a little bath. The guy's working down at Kelly Air Base, you know, and he's pulling down $25,000 a year, and he's driving him a new Oldsmobile, and you say, all right, now I'm going to take the keys away from you.
Yeah, right.
We're going to go in the back room, put your pants down, we're going to give you a little spanking. You're too late.
Yeah,
did you ever figure out you're too late? When are you chasing your son? While there's hope.
Yeah,
amen. Well, and don't let your soul spare for his crying. I see some of you spank your kids. It is funny. That kid has got you down. Oh, he has got you. He knows you. That kid ought to have a PhD in psychology.
Yeah, right.
You ever seen what he can do? He said, all right, I'm going to spank you. He knows you won't.
Yeah.
I'm going to spank you. If you do that again, I'm going to whip you. If you do that again, if you do that again, you never get around to it.
Yeah.
That kid knows he can do anything he wants to do, and your word ain't worth 2 cents.
Amen.
And then there's some others. Well, they will spank, but if I cry real loud, real quick, it'll be easy. And so the minute you raise your hand back, they ain't touched them.
Yeah.
You haven't even touched the diaper. You haven't even touched the riches, man. And you say, oh, bless his little heart. Now you see, you got that. Didn't that hurt? Oh boy, this hurt daddy so much. Oh, come on. You haven't even hurt your hand, much less him.
Yeah, right.
I really don't believe in beating kids, but I believe in spanking them.
Yeah.
I believe that's why God makes so much fatty tissue right around here. He knew he could handle that. You know what? One thing wrong with this stupid generation we've got of educators and psychologists and all this other stuff? They don't believe in any kind of corporal punishment.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, let me tell you something. It's very effective.
Yeah, amen.
It works well if you work it. He said, don't let your soul spare for his crying. Yeah. Then nothing hurts you like that.
Yeah, amen.
And some of you are so tender. You're just so tender. That poor little baby's crying. You say, well, he's hungry. And I just fall. Well, he's sick. Well, he didn't get his nap. Of course, sometimes you're wrong. They are sick.
Yeah.
They vomit all over you. You know, whatever you But most of the time, they're just spoiled, and mom and daddy are too lazy to make them obey. Let me tell you what. It's not enough to spank them. That's not sufficient. You know what you need to do? You need to make them obey.
Yeah, that's right.
If you got to drag them by the hand in there and put their hand on a thing and make them do it, do not let them get their way.
Amen.
They cannot afford to get their way. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Let me tell you what, mom and daddy, sometimes you're going to have some real disagreements over this. You better get together and make some decisions.
Amen.
Get yourself together in this. If they know they can go and work you against the other one, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
They really are. Chasten thy son while there's hope. Praise God, there is hope. You say, but you don't know the kid I got. There's hope. There's hope. But you just don't know. Some of mine even come to me and said, boy, Daddy, what do I do with this one? You can't give up.
Yeah,
you can't throw in the towel. You can't quit. What are you going to do? Just hang in there. Be tougher than they are. You say, but my kid's tougher than me. Oh, you're a wimp. You're bigger than him. Sit on him. I saw a principal do that one time. This little old boy was so mean and so tough, and he was just determined what he was going to do. And that principal sat down on him, held him down. I mean, in a business suit, laying on the floor, holding this kid so the kid couldn't strike out and hit. Now, he didn't abuse him. I was there to testify that he didn't abuse him, although some parent might have said something like that. But I want you to know, some of these kids need to have their wills thwarted. They need to know they don't get their way simply because they cry.
Amen.
Or because they fuss or they throw a fit. And don't let them get you with everybody's doing it. I used to tell them, no, I'm not doing it. Your mama's not doing it. That means everybody's not doing it because I'm somebody.
Amen.
Whether you like it or not or think it or not, I am somebody. Chase my son while there is hope. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. You need to keep it going. And as long as they got a will to disobey, you ought to have a will to conquer them.
Amen.
Look at chapter 22 and verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. It's not enough just to discipline. It's not enough just to chase. You need to train them.
Amen.
Need to train them. They need to know what to expect out of you. They need to know some rules they can live by. They need to know what you're going to accept and what you're not going to accept. They need to know what's approved and what's not approved. They need some guidelines.
Amen.
Some of the young people we teach in school, some of the young people out here in the streets today, you know what they want? They're looking for somebody to tell them you can go this far and no further.
Amen.
They need some guidelines.
Amen.
You need to use your head in making those guidelines. You need to be reasonable and fair in making those guidelines. You have some wisdom in making those guidelines. But they need guidelines. That means you need to stick by them.
Yeah.
Train up a child the way he should go. This is the way I want it done. They mow the lawn, leave about 15 swipes across that thing. Tell them, mow it again. I taught Eddie and Billy how to wash a car, and they were quite young. I went out there, and there was just all these streaks, you know, down on it. I said, okay, boys, do it again. No, we'll just do that. I said, no, the whole thing, do it again. And so then I went back out there, and they still missed this place and this place. I said, okay, boys, do it again. What do you mean, do it again? Yeah, do it again. You didn't do it right. Yeah, but they want this one. No, do the whole thing over. They washed that car 3 times. You know, I never have a problem with them again. They did it right the first time. Have you ever thought, I saw this in a business one time, it says if you don't have time to do it right the first time, where are you going to get the time to do it over?
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of wisdom in that. If you don't have time to get the job done right the first time you do it, you're going to repeat it. Somebody not going to pay you till you get the thing done right. You might as well learn it now. Learn how to work. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Well, I'll have to take up right there. Discipline is a necessary thing. Training is a necessary thing. Love is a very necessary thing. You need to love them. You need to train them. You need to discipline them. You need to teach them. You need to teach them why you believe what you believe. You need to teach them the Word of God. You need to teach them what the Lord has done for you.
Amen.
That they might set their hope in God. Amen.